Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Chris.
And I'm Joel.
And we're here to make wrestling all that classy stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. First off, Joel's a jerk. The reasons of why will not be discussed. Moving on. So Raw happened.
It did.
Yeah. Do you have anything specifically that sticks out in your head, or should we just shotgun it and just take a wild shot at something?
I have discovered watching Raw this week, and there are people, we watched it with people this week, and
with people?
Yeah.
Real live breathing people.
Real live breathing people. There's a whole gaggle of gentlemen.
Gaggle, there was like two others.
Yes.
You know, other than us.
But the thing is, one of them had Minecraft, and I had Minecraft.
Yeah, you guys were playing Minecraft the entire time.
Well, that's because
I'm sitting here like, well, this is very unprofessional. We have a show to do in like 2 days.
Well,
and you're sitting here playing Minecraft.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm sitting there on Twitter doing my job, you know, covering the stuff
and interacting
with the fans.
I have read that Twitter feed, and I know at least half of the hilarious jokes came from my mouth, and you just copied them.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to do anyway, right?
So, man, I'm contributing still. My point is,
and there's not, okay, half? I don't think so. Maybe like 25%.
No. 25% of the comments, but at least half of the hilarious ones.
Shut up.
Here's my point.
Where I'm getting at when I call him a jerk.
When I was competing against Minecraft and competing stuff, I only care about one storyline in WWE right now, and that's CM Punk.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Team Friendship.
No, here's the thing. I do care. I like characters. I like Team Friendship, and I'll watch them, but I don't really care about their story.
Okay.
I like their antics, you know. So they're good, and Sandow. You know, and those two, I don't really care about his story. I get, you know, they're going for the tag team championship, which, and I've said before, I really like the fact that they're doing the bracket thing and making it to
sure,
like a matter.
Sure, yeah.
But because you kind of know who's going to win anyway.
Yeah.
It's, you know, good effort, but, you know, it's like when you're doing that math problem and you don't know what the question is. So you just start writing like numbers and symbols beside it for partial credit. In high school. So, it's kind of what it feels like.
Alright, that's a good BS excuse. But I was sitting back, and every now and then I would catch a glimpse of what you were actually accomplishing on Minecraft. On creation modes, really, it was for naught. You were just blowing stuff up. You were randomly putting TNT down and blowing things up.
How many of us watched the Divas match this week?
I remember I did. I don't know what happened.
Raise your hand if you felt like you had wasted time this Monday watching a Divas match this week.
I was on Twitter. I was catching up on Twitter. I was reading back through people's comments and stuff.
You know as well as I do, and everyone for the world, that a solid 3 hours of Raw where you sit and stare at the TV is near unbearable.
I would like to think I come pretty close.
Do you?
Granted, I'm like going back and forth between the screen and my phone.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm doing stuff on Twitter.
I mean, you know, I know you do the classroom entire Twitter sometimes, but
sometimes.
Well, I mean, you're not like constantly updating.
Oh,
okay. You
yeah, yeah.
Still, you know, you're not.
No, I'm not going to.
You're not bombarding Twitter, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, and you know, I don't always have something to say, so I'm not going to just.
No, absolutely. That's not a cut down or a condescending statement. Yeah, you're on Twitter sometimes.
Oh, that was almost a compliment.
Which is
that was almost a compliment, Joel. I can almost take back my jerk comment, but I don't. Hey,
my point is, like, you're on other Twitter stuff. You're just checking out what's happening on Twitter,
right,
in the world amongst your non wrestling friends.
Oddly enough, most of my non-wrestling friends don't really post during those hours, so really it's just the wrestling people, but yeah.
Do they respect the Raw?
I really only got one complaint, and that was back when I covered Raw on my personal Twitter feed.
Right, right.
But now that I'm a classic ring attire,
nothing.
I hear nothing because everyone knows that's what
I'm. That's what all the followers are there for. Yeah, but Raw 3 hours is
still Raw 3 hours.
Raw 3 hours.
Yeah,
right. And it's a difficult thing. And there's no other show on TV like that. There's no other show where I need excess distraction. There are sports like that.
Right.
So
there are times where, like, you know, during a Bears game where they're playing terribly and I can't bear to look at the screen, but I don't want to turn the channel in the hopes that something might get better.
Yeah.
And that's really a lot like with WWE. It could be terrible and unbearable sometimes, but you don't know what's going to happen in the next segment.
Right.
You know, you don't know if something completely, some big redeemable quality is going to just come out of nowhere and all of a sudden you're back into it.
Right. We used to be safe at just as long as you hit the hour marks, but
they're screwing with that so hard.
What's going on?
Because last week the Vince McMahon initial segment was like at 8:30. Today, or not today, this week, CM Punk, he was at 8:30.
Yeah.
I don't know. They really liked 8:30.
Apparently so. I don't know. Maybe
that's new 10 o'clock.
Maybe that's the shakeup they were talking about backstage. Just like, start making 7 8:30. There we go. Problem solved. Although, here's something that happened this week.
Unless I think kickoff for Monday Night Football starts at 8:30.
That's
probably what it is.
Are they trying to fight that?
Yeah, because the last time I watched Monday Night Football, I caught a full episode of How I Met Your Mother before I switched over.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the competition.
I am a TV ratings genius right there.
They're trying to hold on to everybody from switching over after half an hour of terrible.
Yeah, there you go.
So, okay.
How did we work that out?
There is something that did happen on Raw that I really enjoyed this week. Kofi kicked Miz in the face.
Holy crap, did he. Like, that was, like, when we watched it live, it didn't seem like nothing. But then they slowed it down.
I thought it was something. And then you guys were like, oh, look at that. He fell. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to say anything.
Wait a minute,
I don't want to sound like a jerk who's totally buying into this.
I think I might have, like, looked away at that moment because I don't remember seeing it live. But then I saw the replay. And everyone else in the room just kind of lit up whenever we saw that.
Yeah.
Just because that was brutal.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, the more I'm into a match, the more it looks real, I guess, for lack of better way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, into a match, I'm get more invested in, you know, like, when the pins, is it going to be a kick out?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Specifically, you know, like, in the WrestleManias and the you know,
the higher profile
matches, and when the big matches are really good, and
really
I care good. About whatever the fallout is, it there's you know, it, I buy into it more.
Right.
It's easier to be like, oh, that you know that fake hit looked really impressive, and you know stuff like that. Whereas the exact same moveset with the exact same wrestlers will not have looked as impressive.
If
I'm not caring about it, and so that kick from Kofi to Miz looked really good. And I was like, I'm not bitter. You know, that just kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah.
But I know that I can really, you know, these moves set up to look real and, you know, but not hurt people can still look like they hurt people. Ziggles is walking proof of that.
Well, he's just a slinky.
I mean, that's his big thing is like, he is beautiful at selling moves. So, and you know, then they did this in replay. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, that looked like that legitimately hurt Miz. And it should be noted that by the time we're recording this, the episode already aired, Kofi won the Intercontinental Championship at Main Event. So, hooray. He's the now four-time Intercontinental Champion?
Four-time? I was going three, but
that's from what I understand, it's four.
I'll believe you on four.
Authority.
I mean, I guess, you know, part of it's good. I was a little worried that Kofi was going to get shuffled out of this as punishment for, you know, messing up whatever happened there. Clearly, there was some miscommunication.
It might have been, but dear Lord, that's not something to get punished for. That got people into it. That got people talking, you know.
Yeah.
That got people, like, legitimately concerned if Miz was messed up in that face now.
But if you're actually going to go out and start kicking people in the face, you need some punishment.
I guess.
Like, that's, you know, clearly there has to be communication and trust between wrestlers. Or else it's MMA.
Fair enough.
Do you want to watch MMA? Is that what you want?
No, I really do not.
That's what I thought. You saw Batista in MMA. That's what it would be.
Oh,
every week.
That was such
for
a
three
boring,
that was 5 minutes.
That was such a boring match.
That was 5 minute match.
That was so freaking boring.
It is.
I'm still trying to figure out how in the world he won. He was on top of him for a longer time.
Here's the thing, and I do watch, and you know, I usually watch just UFC. I don't, you know, so I would not have seen this one if it wasn't Batista.
Right.
I was actually seeing it. And there are good matches.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Wow, that, you know, but there is, you know, there are really important and great matches that are just visually unimpressive.
Like this one.
Yeah, it's, you know. And that is my end problem with... Well, this one was not a great match. Let me just clarify that. That was a boring match to watch.
Yes.
That's my overall problem with submission holds. Is they don't... They're not visually exciting.
Right. There's no real dynamic to it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's guys getting down in the ring close to the floor.
That's why I hate the STF.
Yeah, I like the STF.
He looks like he's just... He's chilling on the beach with his buddy.
Yeah.
You know, he's the cover of a romance novel. Like, it's just, I'm holding you in the face. Hooray. 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 Like, it literally looks like his arms is, like, doing some sort of weird hug with the other dude's chin.
Yep.
Not even his neck. His chin.
His chin. Sometimes his nose.
Sometimes his nose. Sometimes his eyes.
Yeah.
Sometimes his forehead.
Yep.
Never seems to quite lock it in with his just meaty arms.
Yep. Nope. I don't like that one. The only one I like is that surfboard thing that Daniel Bryan would do.
Yeah, and then he turns into a I can't remember what he does. The surfboard, and then whenever he brought CM Punk back, even further,
he
turned to like a, I think it was a dragon sleeper or something like that. Don't rip me a new one, internet. I don't know. All these obscure moves and holds. Sorry.
Yeah.
I always like the Anton Vice.
I like it okay.
Especially when Punk's got the crazy eyes working and he's kind of like looking straight in the face, like,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah. Probably that's like, I like Punk.
But yeah.
Punk can do whatever.
Okay. Well,
Punk can have a tea time off with somebody.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But more than that, I do love Hell's Gates.
I know you like Hell's Gates.
Hell's Gates, because it's intense. Just, like, there's just something terrifying to me of having the life choked out of you and staring the dude in the face. And the guy you're looking back at is the Undertaker with his crazy eyes. And that just creeps you all to pieces.
I don't love Hell's Gate either.
Well, you're a jerk.
Hell's Gate really looks like... We need to have a conversation quick about how this match is going. Let's put him in the Hell's Gate.
But wouldn't that be terrifying if Undertaker was the one saying that we need to have a conversation? It's like, come here. Come here. Just, come here.
I mean, I think it's, you know, drop Undertaker. Which is probably something between Biker Taker and Mean Mark. Like, it's definitely not Undertaker. So, that's what you're dealing with. He's like, hey, things going? It's going pretty good. I think they're liking this. All right, what are you going to do? I think I'm going to do one of these. Okay, cool. Ready? Break. It's a huddle. It's a wrestling huddle. It's literally what the hell
would it
is.
Be better if he, like, you know, motion for you? Like, I have a secret for you. Come here. You know? Is that what you're envisioning? Is that what you really want, Joel? Are you just telling everyone now exactly what it is you like in your wrestling?
I'm saying I don't like it. That's the entire...
Well, it seems like you're wanting him to go just full circle with it. Just full on. Just come on.
No, I don't care for the Hell's Gate. Plus, I really like the Tombstone. I think the Tombstone looks fantastic.
When executed properly.
Okay, well.
When it's not, we get, you know, shortened careers a.k.a. Stone Cold.
I mean, that's to say with everything. But, like, a good tombstone looks really good. Which is why, like, I was really bummed out that... The, you know, and I know that there were reasons, but I was really bummed out that WrestleMania ended with a Hell's Gate.
I loved
it. I was like, tap outs. And that's the other thing is like,
I mean,
wrestling ending in tap outs, especially at WrestleMania. If that's
no, but see,
your
I like it.
Dream
see, like, okay, take it in the spectrum of CM Punk and Chris Jericho because that ended with the Anna Common Vice.
Yeah,
that was, you know, both of the guys were saying that they were best, the best in the world, whatever. Getting the other guy to tap out to you is basically them literally saying, yeah, you're right, you're better than me, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. It's, I mean,
and
it's
so,
an I Quit match without the DQ stipulation, no DQ
right.
stipulation.
So, I mean, you know, when that happens in other matches, I'm okay with it. Like, it's going to happen in almost every Daniel Bryan match because...
He's a submission dude.
He's a submission dude, and, you know, we... He doesn't really have a finisher other than the no lock, yes lock, LaBelle lock, whatever he's calling it nowadays.
Right.
You know?
That's
all we got with the Chris Masters, and that was the one thing I hated about Chris Masters is his finish was always the master lock. I felt like he needed something else.
I mean, the past three WrestleManias have all had a finisher tap out. They've had the Jericho, what's it? And then you had Hell's Gate before that. And then you had Batista tapping out to Cena before that one.
I forget about that, but yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that was the one, that's where it really kicked off bothering me.
Well, because that's because it's Cena and STF, man. Like,
well, here's the thing. Just in storyline, the tap out is the signal, you know, is I give up, you have defeated me.
Right, it should be saved for the last match.
And that was that was the beginning of their feud, basically. They still had two more pay-per-views to go through. Because
that was the duct tape, didn't they?
Yeah. I did really like the duct tape.
Lord, that was the most genius thing in the world.
What, a Cena highlight, quite possibly?
That was, oh dear lord, and definitely in my top three, if not my top.
Alright, can you do two more? Think about it. I'll spout some.
Go.
I really dig the Thuganomics reprise right after the first Rock thing.
Yeah.
I really like that because I was like, oh man. He has to go up against The Rock. Like, this is going to be brutal mic slaughter. And Cena just stood up. I really liked that one. I really like the acknowledgement of the jorts with the phone. This direct, and that might have been the very beginning of Cena talking to the camera at every entrance. That's like the earliest I can remember.
Right.
When he had to explain to the camera that he wore jean shorts all the time in case he had a phone call. Off the top of my head, that would be my top three Cena moments.
I'm coming up with a definite one, and that was Juan Cena.
Juan Cena.
Never made it on WWE TV, but the fact that it happened.
That it merely exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one has to be my top.
It's right in there and that could have been, just because of the fact that it's not technically canon, because it only happens at House of that hurts me a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
But we'll forever know.
Juan Cena. Just
I really like his match for Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23.
Oh, a match.
Huh?
Oh, a match. I didn't even think about matches. I just thought about Cena being silly moments.
It was a really good match. Even had a streaker right before it was gonna start. Like the guy, well, I don't know if it was a streaker, but it was a fan that jumped the rail.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the camera did that awkward cut thing. And, you know, Sean just, you know, he was, like, chilling in the turnbuckle. I think he did his patented, like, laying in the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the security finally got the guy and was taking him out, he kind of did, like, a pageant wave to him. And, you know, Michael Cole was like, Michael Cole's getting it, or Shawn Michaels is getting in his head. And I was like, no, he's not. He's being a jerk to the fan. But the match... in itself was really fantastic, and not in kind of piggyback off that. I kind of looped them together because they're somewhat related. I believe a couple weeks later, when they were in London, him and Shawn Michaels had a match on Raw, mind you. That was, I think it was like three segments, a full hour match on Raw, and it was it probably was better than the WrestleMania match. It was brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah. That's probably my number two. And then number three would be Duct Tape.
Duct Tape?
Yeah.
Duct Tape Xena. I wish...
That stands as my favorite Raw moment, by the way.
That
match was fantastic. Even though it was John Cena.
Yeah. I wish they would do more with matches on TV.
Yeah.
And that harkens back to the 3 hours of terror that we were talking about earlier.
Pulling the curtain back a little bit, that was around the time where I was just now getting back to watching wrestling again.
Yeah.
I was kind of on the fence. I had watched WrestleMania just because I heard Shawn Michaels in the main event. I was like, the crap? Like, what is he doing there? You know? And I watched a little bit. And then when I saw that match, I was hooked.
Yeah.
I was back in it. And turns out that's what made Chris Jericho want to come back. That same match.
Yeah.
So, it brought us all back.
There you go. I mean, best Raw match I've ever seen was John Morrison and The Miz for the title.
That was a good match, yeah.
And that was one where, like, I legitimately thought the title might change hands on Raw.
Yeah.
It was that good. I thought Jomo was ready, you know, and I thought those two could have had an extended feud, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of had, like, an on-again, off-again thing.
Yeah.
You know, used to be tag team partners and all that stuff.
And I definitely did not think that Miz would be in WrestleMania that year. You know, this is like right at the beginning of the year.
None of us did.
Miz had only held the belt for maybe a month and a half. And so, you know, I thought...
Running the bank champion at that, they usually don't last that long.
Yeah. So I thought it would go to John. He'd lose it at maybe the Chamber to, you know, a big-time heel for big-time face-to-face at WrestleMania.
Right.
But, you know, it obviously didn't happen that way, but...
You're not at all.
But that's the thing is, you know, I really think that title matches on Raw should be... Not a weekly thing, because I still think there should be some prestige to...
They need to save it for special occasions, yeah.
Or they could have... a Raw title, you know, a champion of Raw or something.
TV title kind of thing?
Yeah, but I don't like the name TV title.
Yeah, because TNA has that, and it's terrible. It's a terrible idea.
It feels, the title feels dumb.
WCW had it back in the day, too.
But I don't think the idea itself is dumb.
No.
You know, that's why I was trying to skirt around calling it a TV title.
Right.
But something that, you know, champion of Raw, champion of SmackDown, maybe do something like that.
Hmm.
Where, you know...
That pretty much is, you know, the WWE Championship and the Heavyweight Championship. It's just not called that.
I know, but...
That's what it is.
And, well, the two top main event levels championships are, you know, are obviously regulated to their own shows. But it, you know, it kind of goes with this thing where... You know, when people are really feuding over Intercontinental or USA, and, you know, it's this just unspoken giant, you know, elephant in the room where it's like, that's not that important of a title, guys. That's
right.
Not, you know, everybody's supposed to be going for these bigger titles. And even the heavyweight championships, like, you are fighting for the second most important championship.
Right.
And just nobody's acknowledging it.
Well, CM Punk did.
Yeah, he did. Because CM Punk's awesome.
Oh, yeah, and he... just goes ahead and just says what he wants.
Yeah. But they have these four championship belts that are all technically the same thing, and we all know that they're just tiered.
Right.
So I think to have... I think there is a better advantage to having, you know, your belts or your title. You have to... Like the hardcore title, there was this other stipulation with the...
There was something special about it.
Yeah, you know, that you're always defending it, and, you know, anytime, anywhere, blah-de-blah. So, it's, you know, the tag team championships are different because there's something different about them.
Right.
So there's, you know, or, you know, do something like that. Just the fact that you have four titles that everybody on, you know, on the roster is eligible for.
Right.
And you're never going to see John Cena be like, I should be U.S. champion, I think. I'm a patriotic fella. I think we're going to have John Cena U.S. United States title reign. You're just not going to see that because nobody will say it, but everybody knows the U.S. title is not important.
Right.
And it is beneath him. So,
but it's never held by anyone that's from the U.S.
I know, right?
The Intercontinental Belt's never held by anyone not in the U.S. or Canada.
I don't know. Where's Kofi from?
Well, technically in Ghana, but he moved from Ghana at a very young age.
Saying he's from Ghana, he was once from Jamaica for a while.
Once from Jamaica, and then we chose to forget that bit of history.
But not Triple H!
But not Triple H.
He stands tall.
And he asks the important questions.
Oh, man. So, I don't know. A Raw title, a SmackDown title, would be something that acknowledges that, or just a mid-card title, something that acknowledges this is not as important, but
right.
Some rule, like, you cannot challenge for the WWE title without an Intercontinental reign or a United States reign.
Right.
Something that...
Which is pretty much an unwritten rule anyway.
I know it's an unwritten, but write it.
Right.
You know? I mean, Ryback is now a number one contender.
Well, that doesn't mean he's going to win it.
Well, but...
But he's getting a chance, yeah.
But you should not be able to challenge for it. You should not be able to be... To get that number one contender.
You know they're
spot.
Not going to write that. They don't like putting themselves in the corner.
Of course not. And obviously, that's a smart idea to not
right.
put yourself in the corner when you're having to write 3 hours of crap
especially
every week.
Especially when you're already cornered with 3 hours. And, you know, you're trying to make all these changes creatively.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this. I do think the idea of having an internet championship is brilliant. Gives you something to fight every week for on the YouTube pre-show. Or every month.
Yeah.
You know? You have internet content already. Why not?
I think with the upping of these internet presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, yeah, internet championship could be a really good idea.
I think so.
That, you could use your Twitter active thing for that, and not for ruining tag team names.
Yeah.
So.
But if that's the case, we'll get the same matchups every week.
Ryder and Ziggler?
Basically.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, I'm okay with that too, but... After, you know, like the fourth or fifth month, you're kind of ready for something else.
Then I'll vote for something else. All
right, then.
But for the first month
or
so...
But you're not a 14-year-old girl on Twitter.
No,
or a
not.
Horde of 14-year-old girls on Twitter.
Can you fight back the horde? The horde of 14-year-old girls?
No. That horde is unstoppable.
See, they
like
would...
Kobe.
They would... They...
Ain't W reference, what's up?
The horde would vote Randy in. And I'd like to be okay with that, to have to be like, Randy, you're fighting for the internet championship. But yeah, I know we were talking about, you know.
And then he gives you the right face. Then like, okay, no, you're on the main show. You'll be in another meaningless match against Wade Barrett. How's that? Happy?
Elevator fighting? Please, no right face. But yeah, I know that. You know, I'm asking for idealized situations without having to look at the reality of
right.
constantly filling.
Okay, I have
so many hours every week.
I have a solution. Okay, United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championships are dead. And
the people holding the titles, or
the belts themselves.
Okay,
weekend at the titles. Total callback. That's my solution to everything now. Everything is dead, and everyone's trying to pretend that it's still alive.
Aren't they dead anyway? They're inanimate hunks of metal.
And leather. Don't disrespect them, cows.
Leather, sure. Cows that died for the championship title. Let me think.
I'm still proud of my Weekend of Sheamus' idea.
You would be. Stop living in the past, man.
I'll do what I want. It was a gold moment for me.
Alright, let's move on.
Alright.
And let's talk about Ryback going to be in the Hell in a Cell match. What say you, sir?
I mean, out of the two options, I would prefer this option anyway. I mean, we know that there's no way CM Punk is going to drop the belt to Ryback.
Yeah.
I do think it's a smart idea, especially for Cena's sake. It gives him a little more time to heal up, because nobody is convinced that he's 100%, or even close, not even, like, 60% in the, on that arm.
No, I agree strongly with that. Like, I know Cena's, like, a big company man, and never miss a Monday, and blah-de-blah, but whatever, you don't want to watch the guy, you know, end his career in the ring.
Right.
Like, I think even, you know, if you don't want Cena, if you want Cena's career to be ended, you don't want to have to watch it happen live because bones are flying out of arms.
Exactly.
So, I'm happy
for that reason. I'm intrigued because, you know, it's a Hell in a Cell match, so we might actually get a decent-sized match for a guy that we really haven't seen much of.
Yeah.
We can see how he handles himself. You know, CM Punk, he always does a great job of making the other guy look fantastic. So, he's got the greatest vehicle that any young wrestler's ever had.
Yeah.
To just completely elevate himself. So, it's exciting for that reason. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, that's probably the only thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. In this pay-per-view. I agree that, yeah. Ryback, you know, we have not seen really our best example of Ryback wrestling is when he was Skip Sheffield.
Right.
And that Nexus SummerSlam match. Which, yeah, he did a large part in making that.
But again, that was short. That was very short, you know,
it was
quick.
Yeah, but it was the only thing that still, like, ring, you know, that is still in my mind as something more than a, you know, just a jobber match.
Right.
And he did great in it. And the big thing there was these rookies looking like they could stand up against these veterans who, you know,
right.
we were supposed to think were, you know, top talent. And it was a thing where I remember going into it being like, this is just going to look so one-sided because of the years of build-up for Cena's team.
Right.
But it looked pretty even, and I really think that Skip Sheffield, now Ryback, was a big part of that. The gentleman is much larger now.
Yes.
And
he's huge.
And his fighting style is more large.
I'm a giant human guy. Yeah.
And I have not seen that be a, you know, success. I'm not saying it won't be. And I think it probably will be just fine.
Yeah.
But that's something that we haven't... That's what we really haven't seen is this, you know, hulking physique character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do a lot of fighting. Here is the thing that's really a big downfall for me.
Okay.
This is a guy who is going on a year championship reign. And this is a guy who has been undefeated since debut.
Right.
And a build-up of that level, especially in a Hell in a Cell match, because that's going to have some no DQ stuff in it.
Right.
So, at the end of the night, one of those streaks will have ended. And that angle could really be played up to the point where I would really question if CM Punk's going to make it out as champion. Because of all the, you know, because of this extended push and backing of Ryback that the company seems to have, you go back to, like, Sheamus' surprise, you know,
yeah.
And this isn't unprecedented that Ryback will, you know, be the champion here, and so I feel like there could definitely be, it's not hard to play this build-up in a way that we could go into Hell in a Cell being unsure of who was going to come out champion, except for the fact that we know that The Rock is going to be at Royal Rumble.
And they're not going to put a new guy.
It's not going to be Rock and Ryback. It might be Rock and Cena, but we're really, really looking at Rock and Punk.
Right.
And it's going to be a lot more impressive for Rock to break a year-long-plus streak than to break a two-month streak.
Yeah.
If Punk gets his title back at Survivor Series or whatever. And that just like that one fact really killed all the, you know, anticipation and wonderment out of this match for me.
Yeah.
It's like Cena versus Kane at Elimination Chamber.
We knew how it was going to end.
You know, it has to end that way. Yeah. There's no other way. It's literally just a time filler.
Right.
It Cena has to be on it. And so this is, CM Punk has to be on it. He's champion. He has to defend it. So
yeah,
here we go. Filling time until The Rock gets back. And I get last year, I get the idea of let's try a year-long build-up.
Right.
I get that it's never been done before. Let's see how it goes. I think the general consensus was not great.
No, not by my standpoint.
I didn't care for it. I don't ever want to see a year-long build-up for WrestleMania again.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's all about, like, building up excitement for the next WrestleMania. But WrestleMania's going to do that on its own.
It's WrestleMania.
Right. Now, I do understand this is it was a new concept for them. It was just a different avenue to take. And it's The Rock, so, I mean, you know.
I'm not knocking it. And when they announced that, and they're like, here's their WrestleMania, I was like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to pay for WrestleMania in a year.
By summer, we were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the time we finally got there, we're like, all right, finally, let's go.
Let's get this over with. I'm tired of once in a lifetime.
Right.
But so, what, they haven't done it in a year, but they've done it again, that The Rock will return in blah de blah, and they haven't picked a guy for him, but they know he's going to be in the title scene.
Right.
And so, with something like that, I don't know what the advantage of doing that. Are there people who are going to buy this pay-per-view who would have not heard about, because of The Rock, who would not have heard about The Rock between January 1st and the Rumble? Like,
I don't know.
And enough to make it worth it, and not in a, like, one person will make it worth it because that's more money, in a, like, I think you are, you know, you're making me not care about Hell in a Cell because of it.
Right.
You know, and however many more that you might be losing, you know, that money on Hell in a Cell, because I'm literally just...
Because that means you're not going to call
doing it that undercuts everything between now and Royal Rumble. Because it's saying Royal Rumble is the only thing big enough to be worthy of The Rock, who you have built up as bigger than the company itself.
Yes.
You've done this.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so, and you continue to do this, which The Rock pulls in levels of money for you that, like, I might do that too. If I were in charge.
Cash cow.
Yeah. Like, The Rock is what The Rock wants. I can make my peace with that, no problem.
Yeah.
But planning out, you know, so far in advance, I think undercuts the value of the pay-per-views in between there. And to some degree, they do it anyway with the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, and Elimination Chamber just kind of in there.
Yeah,
don't forget all this. But the road to WrestleMania is a bigger thing,
They can usually incorporate what happens at Elimination Chamber into WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
So that adds some excitement to Elimination Chamber, other than the fact that, you know, that those type of matches are pretty exciting on their own.
But that's what I'm saying, is that in this one instance, because it happens once a year, this basic stepping stones to WrestleMania, here are your stops on the road, I'm totally fine with. But this thing where, you know, these big names are only worthy, you know, only these few things are worthy of these big names. The same thing happened when Triple H challenged Brock for a SummerSlam match before Money in the Bank happened.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I'm not, you know, Money in the Bank is not worthy to house Triple H versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
We have to wait till SummerSlam because it's this important of a match, which says Money in the Bank is not important. Money in the Bank doesn't deserve this of a match.
Yeah.
And so that's my big problem with The Rock. And I don't think that the payoff, the build-up, because, you know, if The Rock was on every week being like, you guys, come January, this is going to be a whole new ballgame, I'd get The Rock every week. I welcome, that's a trade-off I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting Rock on mic every week. Even satellite. Even occasionally. You know?
Yeah.
even just like if in one of these arguments throughout this week, you know, Rock pops up on the Jumbotron and is like, none of y'all matter in 4 months or whatever. Just more Rock. But we're not getting more Rock.
No, we got him the night after WrestleMania. We got him on Raw 1000. That's it.
Yeah. So I don't see the advantage to announcing the Rock so far. And the thing is, I'm betting that's what's going to happen for the rest of the Rock's career.
Yeah.
I mean, and it might be something where part of this is, you know, right before WrestleMania 27, when they signed the papers, Rock coming back, but before they told us, I don't know how far in advance, you know, if they've been like, you're going to interfere this WrestleMania so we can have a year-long build-up to next WrestleMania and the next Royal Rumble. You know, I don't know if they had all that in place for the ride.
Right. I think they really just had that one initial thing. And I know that the night after this past WrestleMania, I knew that they were wanting to set up another long-term thing. They just didn't know exactly what yet. And so I think by the time they put their finger on it, they're like, okay, well, we'll save the announcement for Raw 1000.
Yeah.
You know? So, they're probably just making it up as they go along. They knew that they wanted Rock for 29. He was wanting to be there for 29, so they just didn't really know exactly how to go about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when they announced that they were going to be at MetLife Stadium, you know, I think he was the only, like, wrestler there at the announcement. It was, I remember it was Vince, Triple H, Rock, and Governor Chris Christie.
Yeah.
I don't even really know him by name because he's huge.
Yeah. This is something where, you know, Brock will also probably most definitely be at WrestleMania 30, because it's WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah.
This is also, though, I think unless Rock comes back in some sort of, you know, much greater capacity, I think this will be The Rock's last title run.
Oh, yeah. Then after that, it'll just be, you know.
Unless, you know, maybe he'll have some sort of, like, one-night title in the way, like, Bret Hart was United States champion for a week or whatever. When he beat The Miz. It happened, like, on Raw. It's totally unimportant. It's okay if you don't remember this. It was during, like, the Hart Dynasty stuff happening.
I'm completely drawing a blank.
Bret Hart.
I remember that era, but...
Like, Miz said, you know, you're old and irrelevant. And Bret, I challenge you to your championship title. And all of Hart Dynasty interfered, and, you know, Bret kind of stood in the sidelines and then did the pin.
What did they do after he dropped it?
I don't remember. He must have just been like, thank you for the honor. Here you go, Tyson Kidd or David Hart Smith. I'm not sure which.
No. Neither one of those guys had it.
I don't remember.
That much.
I don't remember, but...
Maybe there was like a match that night to decide.
There might have been, yeah. But I think maybe Rock will, you know, be champion for a little bit again because...
Yeah, I see what I see happening is either whoever he beats, I'm assuming they're obviously going to incorporate Elimination Chamber somehow. They're not going to put Rock in there, definitely not. Maybe have a match where,
well, the thing is, usually
they determine, you know, who he's going to face at WrestleMania.
Usually the one championship match is to determine is, you know, one elimination chamber match determines a champion and one determines a number one contender.
Right.
And that's based on whoever isn't selected for
Money in the Bank.
No, the other one.
Royal Rumble, yeah.
Whichever belt hasn't been chosen by the Royal Rumble winner gets a number one contender's match.
Yeah. And see, so the only problem is if Punk drops the belt to Rock at Rumble, everyone's going to cry foul if Punk doesn't get any kind of rematch at any point.
Yeah.
And see, that's where I'm thinking that maybe maybe Punk is like a late entrant into the Royal Rumble and he wins.
And
facing, you know, and then set it up for WrestleMania.
Okay, but then what, I mean, if Punk does that, he's obviously...
Then they have nothing else to put in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, you have everything filled for that match.
I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing that we're getting to, that we're going to start having to face as we reach WrestleMania. You have Rock, Brock, Cena, Punk, Taker.
Right.
That's five guys, so somebody, that you know, who are all going to want, they're going to fight each other, basically. And just, you pick your pairs.
Right.
But that's your Rock,
and a lot
Brock,
of people,
Cena,
and
Punk,
a lot of people are starting to really say Punk and Taker, yeah.
So, but one of those guys is going to be left out in the cold. That's two matches and an odd guy out. So, you know.
Triple H is always in there.
Triple H might fight somebody. I mean, I could see a Triple H and Brock Redemption match. But when
you
have...
You think he's really going to come out in hedgehog hair?
I don't know. Maybe he's like, it worked for Taker! No hair's the winner!
No, but see, here's the thing. He didn't go bald. He went hedgehog, okay? That's a big difference between a really awesome-looking mohawk and whatever it is going on with Triple H's short hair.
I mean...
Maybe he's thinking it'll grow back a little bit by then, which it might, you know.
Maybe.
My hair grows back pretty quick. I just cut this back in the first day of summer.
They have no idea what this means. Not a visual medium.
Okay, screw you. Okay, half of our listeners are friends of ours anyways, so shut up.
The podcast is not a visual medium.
Your face is not a visual medium.
It's a soul function. It can be a visual medium.
Well, it shouldn't be.
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, WrestleMania. My point is, see... That pairing, though, leaves Cena and Rock, and I don't want to see Cena and Rock again.
No.
So.
But who else is... it's either going to be Cena or Punk.
I mean, I'll take a Brock and Rock.
Yeah, Brock and Rock, I guess.
It rhymes.
Brock, Rock.
And I can, you know, I don't think Brock cares about legacy stuff, so, like, he can win the championship and then lose it a month later to whoever is actually going to carry the championship.
Yeah.
So...
this is assuming that, you know, that Brock isn't actually done with wrestling.
Yeah.
Because he said he is. He say at least the tout saying he was.
Oh, there you go. That's legit.
That's some writing, people.
No, he's on WrestleMania 29 poster.
He is?
Yeah.
What poster are you looking at?
Him and Rock and Cena on the WrestleMania 29 poster. So... Do you remember the CM Punk Undertaker poster? The bottom of that was pulled from the actual poster. And it's got Rock and Cena and Brock on it.
Huh.
Alright.
So,
of course Brock's going to be... They're saving up their Brock appearances for his WrestleMania match. So...
I mean, I'm not saying it definitely wasn't. I'm just, you know, throwing that out there.
Well, making your WrestleMania prediction cards. You know, everybody had those five guys in some variation of fighting each other.
Right.
Cause
also, one thing, I did think about this week, our predictions,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was things that, you know, were a little bit random and out of nowhere, which was intentional because, you know, just that one-off chance.
Yeah, you want to look really cool.
There's a lot of, like, more than usual, a lot of rumors about Colt Cabana coming to WWE.
Yeah.
Punk even went, I think he was at, when he was at Wizard World this last time, or I forgot exactly what it was. He was saying something about Colt, and he's like, you know, and, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully we'll see some really good news come from him soon.
Yeah.
That was the end of last month. So, I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. None of us, I'm not saying nobody, but none of us making cards predicted a CM Punk heel turn before the next WrestleMania.
No. I'm trying to remember. No, not at all.
So, That's gonna mess around with the card in different ways.
I can't even remember where I had Punk.
I gotta check my card. Like, yeah, I forget about it throughout the year. Like, I'm gonna look at it and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I said what? Oh, I feel bad. But I remember, like, I think it was...
I don't think I ever had mine in writing. I think I just said it on podcast. I might have to go back and listen.
Go back and listen and find it so yeah. You can... Because, yeah, we'll talk about it come WrestleMania and be like, oh, we were dumb.
Well, yeah, so. It's part of the fun of it.
No, it is. It is. Totally awesome.
Pointing at the stupidity of others is always great, especially when it's your past self.
Yes. Past selves are dumb.
God, past self is an idiot.
Yeah. All right, I think that about does it for me.
Really... That indeed does it for me as well.
Yeah, so little of this was about Raw this week.
Really? Yeah, you're right.
So it's going to have so
whatever, good. Sometimes it's us just shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
You guys love it.
Yeah, all right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We will talk to you on Mondays.
And whatever else we get to.
I'm not promising anything else. We will talk to you on Mondays.
And if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, anything you want to swing our way, or anything you want us to address on the show, shoot us an email. Our email is classicringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr where you can find old episodes of this podcast and other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there.
And finally, we are on iTunes, so look us up there, click subscribe, you'll get each new episode automatically. Give us a rating.
That give us a awesome. Review.
Yeah. Also make it 5 stars because...
5 stars because we're worth it. Because we're worth it.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.